Welcome back to What's the Point of the Midrash, the weekly podcast where we take a look at a rabbinic text and offer suggestions to answer the question, what's the point of the Midrash? My name is Rabbi Josh Uter, and this week we're talking about Parshat Korach. Korach is always one of these interesting Rorschach test type of parshiot when it comes to giving sermons in Divrei Torah, because here you have an individual who rebels against the establishment, and it's not uncommon. In fact, it's almost an automatic layup type of sermon for someone to get up and compare a particular group they don't like to Korach and the Korach's rebellion, or in other way try to find some parallel between a modern day internal fight within Judaism and the dynamics between Korach and Moshe. What we're going to talk today is less about the fight between Moshe and Korach and the disagreement as much as God's involvement and the nature of the punishment, because this is going to hit on very important questions, really fundamental, essential questions, when it comes to reward and punishment and divine justice. In Bamidbar, Book of Numbers, chapter 16, verses 19 through 22, we find the following: Vayakel alehem Korach et kol ha'ida el petach ohel moed, vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'ida. Korach gathered the whole community against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and then the presence of God appeared to the whole community. V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe el Aaron le'mor. God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Hibadalu mitoch ha'eda hazot va'echala otam karega. Stand back from this community that I may annihilate them in an instant. What was their response? Vayipalu al pinehem. They fell on their faces. Vayomaru, and they said, Kel Elokei haruchot l'chol basar. God, the source of breath for all flesh, or the God of spirit for all flesh. Ha'ish echad yechata va'al kol ha'eda tiktsof. Is one person going to sin and the rest of the nation going to face your wrath? Or more specifically, when one man sins, you'll be wrathful against the entire community? Meaning, there seems to be something fundamentally unjust and unfair here, where it seems Korach is the one who's starting all of this, so why are you going to take it out on everyone else? This may recall a similar argument that Avraham said against God way back in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23, Ha'af tispe tzadik im rasha, will you also sweep away or destroy the innocent with the guilty or the righteous with the wicked? In both cases, you have biblical figures that are arguing against God, and they're making the exact same argument of how can you, God, destroy the righteous with the wicked, meaning only the people who are guilty should be punished instead of just everyone for the actions of an individual. And on this point, the Midrash elaborates, where it says, Amru lifanav, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, Melech Basar Vadam, Shemarada Alav Medina. When it comes to a human flesh and blood king whose nation rebels against him, Ve'amadu v'kilalu et ha'melech o shaluchav, and they get up and they curse the king or his messengers. Asarau esri mehem, if it's even just 10 or 20 of them, Mishaleach sham lig yonotav, he sends against them his legions. Ve'osebam and Rolomosia, and he goes and does a massacre against them. Vehoreik hatovimim haraim, and he goes and he kills the good along with the bad. Lefi she'eno makir behem mimarad umilomarad, because he cannot recognize which one of them rebelled and which ones did not rebel. Miki beda tamelech umikilel, who honored the king and who cursed him. Aval ata, except you, God, hayodea machshavotam shel adam, you're the one who knows the thoughts of man, umashe halavavot vakalayot yoatzot, and you know what the hearts and the innards of man advise him. V'yitzre b'yirotecha ata mivin, and the inclinations of your creations you understand. V'ata yodea michata umilochata, and you know who sinned and who didn't sin. Mi marad umilo marad, who rebelled and who didn't rebel. Ata yodea ruach shel kol echad ve'echad mehem. You know the spirit of every single one of them. Lechach ne'emar, therefore it says, Elokei aruchot lechol basar ha'ish ash echad yechata, that you, God of the spirits for all flesh, for all mankind, the person, one person sins, amar lema kadosh baruch hu, and God responds to them saying, Yafe amartem, it is good what you said, ani modia michata umilochata. I will make known who has sinned and who has not sinned. According to this Midrashic exchange, God responds to the question of Moshe and Aaron, the challenge against the divine justice. How can you punish the righteous along with the wicked? Because you know the difference between them. And God says, you're right. I'm going to expose who the righteous ones are and who the wicked ones are. Now, for me, the point of this Midrash hammers home two real essential things. One is the force of Moshe and Aaron in their sense of justice, like Avraham, to challenge God's decree to make sure that not just that the punishment fits the crime, but that only the guilty people are the ones who are going to get punished. And you have God responding that you are correct. And God's response here affirms that very foundational sense of divine justice, that only the wicked are going to get punished because God is able to tell the difference. That's what I think the point of this Midrash is, but I will add that this is far from the only perspective that we have in either biblical or rabbinic sources. In biblical, one thought that comes to mind is Joshua chapter 7, where Joshua had previously sworn not to take any of the spoils of Jericho, but this guy Achan did, and then in the next battle of Ai, the Jewish people lost. Joshua complains to God saying, what just happened here? Because, you brought us in here to destroy, just to destroy us. And then God responds to him saying, hey, what are you doing setting down in your faith? In Joshua chapter 7, verse 11, God says, Chata Yisrael. Israel has sinned, not just this one person, Achan, but this person. Vegam avru et briti asher tziviti otam, and they broke the covenant that I have bound them, etc. And God here is talking in the plural, referring to everyone in the entire nation, even though only one individual had sinned. We also find, just for another example in rabbinic thought, in Bava Kamma 60a, Rav Yosef explaining the verse in Shmot, Exodus 12:22, regarding the Korban Pesach, it says at the end, Lo tetzu'u ish mipetach beito ad aboker. No one is supposed to go outside of their house until the morning. According to Rav Yosef, in Bava Kamma 60a, he says, Kevan shenitan reshut lemashchit, once God gives permission to the destroyer, Eino mavchin ben tzadikim l'rishaim. God doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. And then he even adds, v'lo od, not only that, elishematchil min hatzadikim techila. But he also starts with the righteous and relies on verse from Yecheskel, Ezekiel 21:8. V'chichrati mimech tzadik v'rasha. I will wipe out from you both the righteous and the wicked. So the righteous comes first, so he interprets this to mean that the righteous are the ones who are taken first. So setting aside the internal contradiction here that says God doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, and then says, oh yeah, by the way, the righteous are going to get it first, which seems to indicate that the righteous are distinguished from the wicked in some way. The idiom here is God will sometimes give permission to a destroyer to just, hey, go and take out all the people. Now, you can argue here that, well, this isn't God directly causing, punishing the guilty people. God's like outsourcing it to one of his assistants to take care of it. And that assistant isn't going to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Not unlike going back to Joshua, that it wasn't God necessarily doing the punishment, it was the people of Ha'ai that were technically punishing the Jewish people, and it was God who was like, yeah, I'm not really going to get in, you're kind of on your own for this. So you know, maybe you could argue for those two, that God isn't really punishing everyone, even though an individual sinner, God really isn't punishing the righteous for the sins of the wicked. But anyway, the question I think still is going to remain. There are many other statements in Rabbinic Judaism that discuss the question of theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? And generally the question of evil. You have a lot of different approaches and opinions that are mentioned, some of which are mutually contradictory. We're obviously not going to go through everything at this time. But going back to Bamidbar Rabbah 18:11, we seem to have the affirmation of the strict divine justice part of that. When God is going to punish people, God is only going to punish those who deserve it, as opposed to those who do not. And in one of the many, many cases in Midrashim, you have the contrast between humans and God, where humans don't have the ability to pick out who the righteous and who the wicked are. God does. And for a being like God who can, implies that there is some moral obligation for God to do so, meaning the fact that God could must mean that God also should. Now, does this happen all the time, and could this not cause other issues down the road? Probably, but at least in this particular case where it works out pretty fine and there's a miraculous intervention of Korach and his people getting all swallowed up, there's a greater opportunity for a midrash to, at the very least, find a case here's like, this is the way it could be, or if not should be, such that God will find the wicked people and God will only punish the wicked people, as opposed to throwing in the righteous or other people who do not deserve it. That's my opinion, at least what's going on in this midrash, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think is the point of this midrash? Please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter at JUter, also on Facebook, or drop me an email via my website, www.joshuter.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week and a wonderful Shabbat.